Pete and Dalton to start the hour, and Miami Sound Machine and Dr. Beats, the Mr. Showbiz mix. 8:15, the full English breakfast show. Scientists have long sought to explain why it is that humans sometimes go into a room and do something important, but forget the task as soon as they enter.
Ah, yes.
Sounds like you and me.
All the time.
Previously, the phenomenon was attributed to the doorway effect, suggesting we tend to forget items of recent significance after crossing a boundary. The boundary may be physical, like a door, or it could be a virtual one, like switching between tabs on an internet browser. The explanation came to prominence in 2011 after a study by researchers at the University of Notre Dame, but now a follow-up study by Bond University has found the effect of doorways alone on forgetfulness is not as significant as earlier studies claim, thereby providing a new perspective. The scientists found it was not just the door itself or the act of walking through it, but rather the change in context that caused the brain to drop the information it considered irrelevant. The research team conducted 4 studies, 2 using real-world locations and 2 in which participants wore virtual reality headsets and moved through various rooms in a 3D environment. Have you got a virtual reality headset yet?
No.
It's going to be the future. Especially this damn virus carries on circulating. The participants were tasked with memorising objects, a yellow cross, a blue cone and so on tables within each room, and then move them from one table to the next in the same order. Crucially, sometimes the next table was in the same room, and at other times people had to move to another room by passing through an automatic sliding door. Researchers found the change had no effect on memory, and that people rarely forgot objects regardless of whether they went through a doorway or not. But when researchers made the memory test harder by asking the participants to perform the same task while simultaneously doing a separate counting task, the findings of the doorway effect were prominent. Essentially, the counting task overloaded people's memory, making it more susceptible to the interference caused by the doorway, said scientists. Interference caused by a doorway.
But what happens if you don't even go through a doorway?
Well, you're all right then.
It still happens. You're not telling me it only happens when you go through a doorway. Well, if you haven't got any doors.
Well, if you haven't got any doors.
Well, if you go from, like, the kitchen to the living area and it's all open space, open plan.
Very fancy.
Well, it's not in my house, but I'm just saying.
Well, you've got an American-style kitchen, have you?
No, I haven't.
OK. The finding more closely resembles everyday experience where we most often forget what we came into a room to do when we're distracted and thinking about something else, they said. Explaining the phenomenon, the scientists said the brain compartmentalises memories from different environments and contexts. If the brain thinks it's in a different context, then those memories belong in a different network of information. Overall, that gives us greater capacity than if you just have one gigantic workspace where everything is connected. But there is a cost to this. By transitioning between compartments, we can lose things. Now, the Bond study also suggests it's possible to immunise yourself against forgetting. If we're single-minded in what we want to do, nothing will stop us from remembering. But if we have multiple things going on, forgetfulness becomes noticeable.
Yeah, but then when you start a story and you've forgotten why you started it in the first place, does that never happen to you?
What was I just talking about?
Yeah. Mm. You see?
So I lost my keys yesterday. I never lose my keys. But something strange happened, because I had to take my car key off the main bunch because I had to get it fixed.
Ah, so you were thrown.
And I had a replacement car, and I put that key somewhere else away from my main bunch of keys, and I couldn't find it.
Where did you put it? Somewhere safe?
It was actually in my pocket. In my jacket pocket all the time. It's the last place I thought of looking for it. And we're going all Irish tomorrow because it's St. Patrick's Day, so just bear that in mind for the pop quiz.
Certainly will.
Boomtown Rats, you two, horse lips. That's the answers for tomorrow.
Today's quiz, question number one. On this day in 1977, Paper Lace were at number one in the UK.
Don't be a hero.
With which pop song, correct?
On, yes. Bus Stop Records.
Well done.
I had it.
Question number two.
Oh, shame we couldn't play that one.
What got in your eyes for this UK
smoke.
Number one? Oh, yes. On this day in, can you guess the year?
1957.
Oh, not far off. 1959. By the Platters.
Yes.
And finally, it's his birthday today. He was born on this day in 1954. English singer, songwriter, actor, film producer, and television writer.
54.
Yes. He had a 1985 UK number 3 hit with Love Don't Live Here Anymore.
Jimmy Nail.
Yeah. What was his 1992 UK number 1 single?
Ain't No Doubt.
Correct.
I like this song.
There you go. That's why I chose that instead of Billy Don't Be a Hero.
Well, we might have time to play that as well if you're lucky.
I don't like that one.
Well, we won't play it then. You don't like Why
Since
you
when
like...
have you listened to me?
Hey, I always listen
no,
to
I
you.
I don't like that one.
I always play the one that you tell me to play at the end. What's wrong with Billy Don't Be a Hero?
Don't know. Just never tickle my fancy, really.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what happens when two black holes collide?
Well, that's a difficult one. I mean, a black hole is a region of space-time where gravity is so strong that nothing, no particles or even electromagnetic radiation such as light can escape. So if you put that into
You're such a little cheat, aren't you? You just looked that up
relativity
on the internet.
Sufficiently compact mass can deform space-time to form a black hole. So I think you put two of those together and it gives you the answer.
Well, it depends which one has the biggest mass, doesn't it?
Very hard to calculate.
Yeah, but if one black hole is bigger than the other, i.e. has a greater mass, then surely the bigger black hole would suck the smaller black hole into it. How's Brexit going, by the way?
It's probably harder to solve than your first question.
You said it. Okay, let's have a look at the markets. Pretty strong day on Wall Street yesterday, but Europe's struggling a bit still.
Yeah, diverging performance on equity markets. European shares certainly underperforming. US stocks advanced for a fifth straight day. Saw gains on the Stock 600 in Europe wiped out after Germany and France suspended use of AstraZeneca's vaccine amid a health scare about blood clotting. I think it's 11 European countries now that are withholding the AstraZeneca vaccine, delivering yet another blow to Europe's lackluster inoculation campaign that has been plagued by political infighting, supply disruptions and public scepticism. Setback, of course, could further delay the path to herd immunity. Cyclical sectors, miners, energy led the declines yesterday. Stock 600 closed flat. On Wall Street, the S&P 500 rose 0.6%, closed at fresh record highs. Saw gains in technology along with travel and leisure. Treasury yield starting to stabilise a little bit ahead of tomorrow's Fed meeting. We know there is optimism around the vaccination progress in the United States, solid evidence of the economic recovery there, and that, of course, has been driving risk appetite. NASDAQ closed up 1%. Opening calls on the European bourses this morning. FTSE up 36 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 44 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 18 points.
Is there any method in the European Union's madness with this vaccine debacle?
I have to be a little bit careful. It's a little bit too close to home for me to discuss certain issues like that. So I will probably let other people decide exactly the process that's taking place.
Okay, sorry to put you on a sticky wicket there. We'll move rapidly on. H&M, new figures out, some signs of improvement, but generally a pretty miserable set of figures.
Yeah, fashion group sales fell slightly less than expected in 3 months through February, and they said they did rise in the first half of March as pandemic restrictions were eased in some markets, allowing hundreds of stores to reopen. But the world's second biggest apparel retailer said sales fell 27% from a year earlier. Market was looking for a figure closer to minus 30%. Most of its 1,800 stores were closed, of course, during the peak of that pandemic. At the end of February, that number had fell to 1,300. They said today 900 stores are still closed. So between the 1st of March and 13th of March, sales are up 10%. As many countries, including the likes of Germany, its biggest market, began to allow stores to reopen. So some light at the end of what's been a pretty dark tunnel for them.
Do they have a license to sell apparel?
Apparel? Apparel? What, the drink?
Yeah.
I like that. I thought you told me that no one's drunk that
since 2019. 2019. We're all back on the gin now. desperate times call for desperate measures.
Gin had a really rage, wasn't it? 2017, 2018?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. France has only just caught up because every time I go to the supermarket, they seem to have a promotion on all these fancy gins.
Yeah, there's a lot of these craft gins, aren't they? Sort of mixed with everything, blah, blah, blah.
A crafty gin.
I tell you, I like, if you have it with the cucumber tonic water, Hendrix with a cucumber tonic water. That's
how pretentious,
nice,
honestly.
That's a nice gin and tonic. That's very
what a
clever
poser.
Very nice.
Anyway, you seem to know a lot about drinks, things you don't actually drink very much.
This is true. I'm not much of a drinker.
And Credit Suisse has just issued an update.
Yeah, it said it recorded its best start to the year in more than a decade as pre-tax income, its investment banking unit, benefits from strong capital market issuance and trading performance. Revenue at its securities unit rose more than 50% in the first 2 months of the year, update is ahead of a presentation by its chief executive at the Morgan Stanley European Financials Conference. So we'll be hearing more from chief executives across the sector over the course of the next couple of days. Firm warned it may have to take a charge on the loan it extended to Greensill Capital before the company filed for insolvency, and so they've only recovered a portion so far. Shares in Credit Suisse have lost almost 9% during the course of this month compared to its crosstown rival UBS, where shares have made a small gain.
And no more dipping your sticky fingers in a box of Thorntons, because they're not going to open after the pandemic.
They're closing their stores, certainly on the high street, so more jobs going there, more paying for the British high street. I think the brand, they said, would continue, and they would try to sell it through the likes of supermarkets and other retailers. So the Thorntons brand, the name will live on, but those iconic shops on the high street look set to disappear.
It was owned by Ferrero anyway, so...
Okay. So it's I don't know if it's going to be a big loss to the high street, but it's another, of course, nail in the coffin of some of these traditional retailers, and it'll be interesting to see what the high street looks like in 1 year, 2 years, 5 years time from now. One suspects it's going to be much more mix of residential and experiences as opposed to people simply going to shops.
But you had one in Cobham, didn't you, Thorntons?
No, there isn't a Thorntons, I don't believe. No. I don't think there is a chocolatier, actually.
I say, it's probably got some fancy French name, isn't it?
I don't think there is one. I'm trying to think if there is one. No,
well, I was in the supermarket. You know those Lindt sort of chocolate bunnies you get for Easter?
Yes.
Well, there's a Ferrero Rocher flavour one now.
Is there?
Yeah.
Do you prefer the best chocolate? What is your best chocolate?
Lindt.
What is those? Lindt. What are the balls? They're the best, aren't they?
Lindor balls are quite nice, yeah.
Wonderful.
And I also quite like the Côte d'Or milk chocolate, which is really, really good. Yeah.
I haven't had Toblerone for a while.
Well, go and get one then.
Yes. Well, it's always, I remember people used to say, when you go to Switzerland, bring me back some Toblerone. It's about a quarter of the price in England than it is in Switzerland.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar, 138.5. Euro dollar coming in at 119. You can get €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
Now, what we haven't covered this morning, gin, chocolate, vaccines, you know, you can get it all in one nugget here, can't you?
Done very well, haven't we?
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have the rest of the day off.
Thank you, I will. Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
As a precaution, AstraZeneca vaccinations have been suspended in France, marking a huge setback in the country's vaccination campaign, which has already been blighted by obstacles. Speaking on TF1 on Monday evening, a pharmacist from the Paris region explained how vaccinations were suspended on Monday afternoon following the head of state's announcement. She went on to express her concern that the doses received can only be kept up to 6 hours before having to be discarded. This means that thousands of doses, as well as additional doses sent to the worst hit regions of France, will be discarded. France is awaiting a decision from the European Medicines Agency on the safety of the vaccine, which is not expected to be announced until Thursday. Meanwhile, the World Health Organization has urged countries not to pause the vaccinations. The controversy surrounding the AstraZeneca vaccine is due to a possible link with the formation of blood clots in some patients. Several European countries have suspended the use of the vaccine. However, London continues to defend the vaccine developed by the Swedish-British laboratory and the University of Oxford, deeming it safe and effective. The UK has already vaccinated more than 22 million people with a first dose so far using the Pfizer, BioNTech and AstraZeneca vaccination. Figures for the number of those affected by blood clots differ, with the BBC reporting that fewer than 40 cases of blood clots were reported as of last week out of 17 million people vaccinated in the EU and the UK, while according to the EMA, 22 cases have been reported as of March the 9th for more than 3 million people vaccinated in its area, the European Union, Norway and Iceland. Meanwhile, the president of the Confederation of French Medical Union, Jean-Paul Oritz, along with doctors and pharmacists in France, have denounced the decision, saying it's catastrophic and surprising. The president went on to say that nothing indicates for the moment a cause or link with this vaccination, adding that it's a political decision and it's very clearly a blow for the vaccination campaign, before noting that the UK has vaccinated 20 million people without a problem. And also, the Federation of Pharmaceutical Unions in France has reacted strongly to the decision, with its president, Philippe Besser, reminding people that there are 300 deaths from COVID per day in France. According to him, there was no scientific advice. It was a political decision to stop the vaccination. And a new variant of COVID has been discovered in Brittany. According to the DGS, the variant so far appears to be no more dangerous or contagious, but may have the ability to go undetected using the current testing methods for COVID. In a press release on Monday, the General Directorate of Health confirmed that further evaluations are currently underway. On Saturday, 8 cases of people carrying this variant had been identified. During a press conference on Monday, French President Emmanuel Macron has announced that the government would in the coming days take no doubt new decisions concerning the coronavirus pandemic. Asked about a possible return to lockdown in the Île-de-France region, where the intensive care hospital services are under immense pressure, the head of state said that the reality of the pandemic would be looked at city by city. In the region, according to the Regional Health Agency for the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur, the circulation of COVID is stabilising while remaining higher than that recorded at a national level. The number of deaths recorded in the VAR department since the start of the COVID pandemic has reached 1,476. On Monday, the Regional Health Agency announced 25 new deaths linked to COVID in hospitals in the VAR. The incidence rate remains stable at 313 for the period from the 1st to the 7th of March. And in Monaco, 13 new cases of COVID were declared on Monday, with the number of residents affected standing at 2,120. 39 people are currently in hospital and 79 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, a class has been closed until Tuesday, March the 23rd at the nursery section here in Monaco at the Institut François d'Assy Nicolas Barré after a pupil tested positive for COVID. And 6 nursery classes have been closed in schools in the Alpes-Maritimes. On Monday, due to a positive case of COVID, a nursery class at the Saint-Barthélemy School in Nice, as well as the Manoir School, were closed, along with 3 nursery classes at Les Laurières Rose School in Nice and 1 at the Jean Moulin School in Antibes. Finally, French Prime Minister Jean Castex has announced that companies will be able to pay a tax-free premium of €1,000 in 2021. The Prime Minister also announced the extension of the hiring bonus for young people until May the 31st and apprenticeships aid until the end of the year. A similar device, sometimes called the Macron Prime, was proposed in 2019 in the wake of the Yellow Vest movement and in 2020 in the face of the COVID-19 crisis.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football, there was one game in the English Premier League last night. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
The reigning Premier League champions Liverpool moved 5 points off the top 4 with a 1-0 win away to Wolverhampton Wanderers. Diogo Jota scored the only goal of the game just before half-time against his old club. The Wolves goalkeeper Rui Patricio was stretched off with an injury, and the former England international keeper Rob Green said it was a serious incident.
A bright game, a lively game, wasn't it? And one where both teams really were on the front foot and took the game to each other. And it was one that I wasn't expecting coming to the ground today and had really enjoyed it. But it goes without saying, it doesn't matter when you see an incident like that. You just hope that Patricio's OK and you hope that, you know, he recovers well.
Manchester City take a 2-0 lead over Borussia Mönchengladbach into Tuesday's second leg of their European Champions League last 16 tie. The German side's manager says his side will need something more than extraordinary to turn around their clash against the Premier League pacesetters. The match, like the first leg, is being played in the Hungarian capital Budapest because of COVID-19 restrictions. Raheem Sterling is back in City's squad after being rested for their Premier League win over Fulham at the weekend. As far as his manager Pep Guardiola is concerned, the England forward has reacted in the right way to the club's rotation policy.
always Raheem and all the players training and react really well. I don't expect they are happy, and the guys who don't play, nor even the guys who are not selected. So it's normal. It always happened since the football was created. Raheem, in this case, have been so important and is so important for the team and for all of us.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Yes, City looking like they've got one foot in the quarterfinals already. The other tie tonight is Real Madrid, who take a 1-0 lead into their game against Atalanta. So happy with the points?
Yes, very happy.
Yes. Formula One, there are signs that Red Bull could make a serious challenge to Mercedes in this year's World Championship. Red Bull have given the impression they're in the best shape heading into the 2021 season after 3 days of testing in Bahrain, with Mercedes struggling. The German giants have been written off many times before, of course, but they experienced a number of issues in Bahrain, including gearbox problems, spins and instability at the rear. Red Bull ended the testing session with the quickest car, and observers say the all-round package is looking good. The jury's out on the rest of the field, but Ferrari look like they may be struggling for pace again. Well, much as I'd love to see Lewis Hamilton win a record 8th Drivers' Championship, I can't help feeling we need some more competition up the front, really, don't we?
Yeah.
Cricket, the remaining three T20 internationals between India and England will be played behind closed doors because of rising coronavirus cases in the state of Gujarat. Crowds of 66,000 and 67,000 attended the first two matches, and the ball was sanitised every time it went into the stands. The third match gets underway at 2:30 French time this afternoon, with the series tied at 1-1. Yeah, I was more than a bit surprised to see so many people in the stadium, because unless India had a miracle cure for coronavirus, which I don't think they had, there were far too many people in there jumping up and down and singing and shouting, having a great time. But you just thought that virus is jumping from person to person there. Rugby union Gary Ringrose and James Ryan will miss the final Six Nations game against England in Dublin on Saturday through injury. Ryan was taken off Leyton Island's win over Scotland for a head injury assessment and will not have completed return to play protocols in time for the match, while Ringrose picked up an ankle injury. Now, flanker Peter O'Mahony will be available for selection after returning from a 3-match suspension. And in boxing, the world heavyweight showdown between Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua is getting closer after promoter Eddie Hearn said a 2-fight deal has been agreed. The winner of the fight will become the undisputed world heavyweight champion. No date or location has been decided for the first fight, but Hearn says there have been offers from 8 or 9 different venues. He said the pen had been put to paper and the date and location of the fight will be announced within the next few weeks.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
The coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almar Sea in the VAR. The general situation is an anti-cyclone, 1,030 millibars over Spain and southwestern France. Winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,009 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 easterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northeasterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,008 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 2 to 4. Northwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Mainly fine today. Moderate southerly winds across the VAR. Temperatures 17 or 18 degrees. Overnight lows 6 to 8 degrees with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday, sunshine and showers. Highs of 13 to 16 degrees. And finally,
a study has concluded that having high levels of the hormone testosterone can make men less generous and more likely to exhibit selfish behaviour. A psychologist from China and Switzerland measured the brain activity of men while they completed a task involving deciding between generous and selfish options. The team found that men who had been given additional testosterone 3 hours before completing the task had tended to select the more selfish options. Furthermore, the testosterone was found to dampen activity in a region of the brain which is known to be involved in the consideration of other people's welfare.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Sorry.
It's your round.